The lazy person does not know that he is lazy. How about that? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. The lazy person does not know he is lazy. And that is so very true. So very true. If you want something done, you ask a busy person. If you want something done right, you ask a busy person. If you want something done wrong, you ask a lazy person, because the lazy person is going to forget what he is supposed to be doing by the time he comes to actually doing it, and much less by the time he comes to actually finishing it, if he ever finishes it. A lazy person is a normal person. A normal person that lacks one quality. Does any of you know what it is? Do any of you know what the one quality is? Ellen seems to know what it is.
Motivation.
Well, that is a good word.
Enthusiasm.
That is another good word. That didn't happen to be mine. But
esteem.
I'm sorry?
Esteem.
I'm sorry?
Esteem.
Esteem?
Yeah.
That's a good word, too. Come.
Fun.
Well, that's even a better word. But he lacks inspiration, which is motivation, which is esteem, which is all these other things we're saying here. A lazy person is not inspired. If you take a student and you put him in school, and he is a brilliant student, and you put him in a slow boat to China class, and he's sitting there with all these other guys who are not as alert as he is to his studies, he'll just die on the vine. He'll just be bored to tears. And what he does when he's bored to tears is what? He makes trouble for the others. He thinks up all sorts of ways to challenge the teacher. He thinks up all sorts of ways to get the boat going. And it's not that they're lazy. It's that they're uninspired. And let me say, there is no such thing as a bad boy. What do you talk about that, Herb? There is no such thing as a lazy person. A lazy person is just an uninspired person. And you can't say motivated, because motivation comes in different flavors than inspiration. If you are inspired to do something good, you might say, well, you're motivated to do it. Well, if you are inspired to do something good, you are illumined to do something good. You are, aha, so! And motivation is like, if you will do this, I'll give you $10, you know? If you will, it's an outer thing. If you will act upon this, I will give you a passing grade, you know. If you'll do the extracurricular work, we'll get a better grade and stuff like that for the laziness that you've been demonstrating. And those are motivations that are never effective. As you say, an outer thing. An outer motivation, which it usually is, and that's where it's classified, is ineffective, because it is not something that you will continually do. And it's a shame. It's a shame that something doesn't turn you on. Now, we watched a movie, and the movie was about a boy who was not totally there with his marbles. He was mentally limited. And he was not stupid, and he was not on alert. It's just that he only had capacity to work in certain levels of his consciousness. Well, the boys picked on him, and then the boys sent him on bogus assignments. They sent him into the girls' locker room to do something very important, you know. And he said, I shouldn't do it. But you got to go tell the teacher that this is important, blah, 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 you know. And so finally he did, and of course the girls were all uptight about it, and he was given a bad name for doing it. And no one explained what he was told to do and how he had been told to do it. So when the boy was inspired, when he was inspired because someone told him that he was a very good boy and a nice boy and cooperative, when someone told him that, then it changed his whole attitude toward himself, because he realized he had responsibility. He had an opportunity to take care of his family, take care of his brother after his mother died, and do all these other things. He was inspired, not from his mother dying, but because he had the opportunity to take charge and to do things. And so he's doing these things and doing them well. Now, you might think he was a lazy boy before that time, because he just sort of plodded along, and he just took his bicycle or coaster or whatever he had and did his thing. And to all outward effect, it did appear he was lazy. To all outward effect, it does appear that many of the students who are troublemakers in the school are just lazy students. Well, what they are is they're uninspired students. They have the ability to go lickety-split when they're forced to go in a crawl or a walk. And that is unhappy for anybody. That's unhappy for anybody who's got the talent to move up and move out, and they're not allowed to do so. So this is why our educational system is just a little bit at odds, because they want everyone to meet certain requirements, and they set the requirements so low that even the most inept person can meet it. And it's not really fair to the guys. They should have students who, in taking tests, they can tell that they're advanced students. They are students who have very quick minds. They're alert. They're awake. They're aware of these things. And move them into a teaching situation that would take care of it. Well, where are you going to get teachers for all that sort of stuff? That's true. Most of the teachers are used to the slow-paced student, and they keep everything slow-paced, and it's not a challenge to them. When the teachers are challenged, when they're moved into a higher pace, then the students are moved into a higher pace. The teacher doesn't have time to let the students be lazy and do poor work. But you see, the lazy person does not even know he's lazy. The brilliant student doesn't even know that he is brilliant. He doesn't even know that he's fantastic, because most people interpret being fantastic in a brilliant person as, what do they interpret it as? They interpret it as that he is stuck up and picking on everybody and not doing things like he should do. And that's true, he's not. He has no challenge. He has no inspiration to be his best. Now, we have people coming here to the campus, and they say they would like to experience healing. They'd like to experience wholeness. Well, they're absolutely lazy. All of their life, they have thought miserable thoughts, and now all of a sudden, they want to change those miserable thoughts for good thoughts. And it can't be done. They want to change those miserable thoughts for good thoughts, and it can't be done. Now, why can it not be done? Because they're still hanging on to the miserable thoughts. You're whole and perfect. Well, almost. You're whole and perfect. I wish I could be. I'd like to be. You're whole and perfect. You see, your old thoughts are, I wish I could, I wish I'd like to be, and that sort of stuff. And that's what holds you back. We might think you're being lazy. We might think you're being disrespectful of the program, but what you're doing is you have dug yourself a hole and you haven't been able to get yourself out of it. You're standing there buried to your waist and leaning toward the direction you want to go, but you can't pull yourself out. And so then people tell you, let go of the past, let go of the limiting thoughts you had about yourself. And when you let go of the limiting thoughts you have about yourself, it sort of dusts away. And you sort of wiggle a little bit. You wiggle a little bit, letting go of the past. And wiggle a little. Pretty soon you got your torso out. And then you got your legs and your feet out. And when you got your legs and your feet out, what's the first thing you do? You sit and rest. Oh, dear. What you want to do is be gone from that place and those conditions totally and now. You don't want to sit there and say, you want to get out and run. Because getting away from those old thoughts and those old attitudes that limited you are still right there. It's still right there. You want to say, ha, 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 you can't catch me. You know how that is? Like the alligator, you swam to shore and got away from the alligator, but you didn't know his brother was coming at you from the other side. Ha, 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 clump, you know. You've got to really watch what you're doing when you're doing affirmation work, you're doing healing work, and you're moving from the attitude that might appear to be lazy, uninspired, to being inspired. Now, I was telling Fernando today, I said, you know, Fernando, I really don't care anything about you. And I don't care anything about your ozone or your ozone projects. And I don't care anything about the Africans and their use of the ozone project. I only care about myself. Just like you only care about yourself. I only care about myself that I am doing what makes me happy. And what makes me happy is to teach the philosophy, share the philosophy. If along the way I can share information about the ozone and how it can destroy the bacteria that's in the lakes down there, I'll do that. But that's not my primary aim. If they want to pick it up and they want to get the ozone and they want to clean out their lakes of the bacteria that's in it and do many other things in the drinking water, great. But I don't really care. I love them. I share it. If they want to do it, great. If I had an emotional caring about every student who came to campus, I'd be a nervous wreck. I'd be a nervous wreck because they just don't cooperate according to what I might want to think they should do. And if I cared about whether Africa uses the ozone or not, hey, we have told Sam Sasu about it already. And Sam knows all about the ozone project. And if Sam really was serious about it, he would have said, hey, here's $200. Give me one of your boxes right now. I'll take it with me. But he didn't. So, hey, if Sam's not serious about his own program, about his own thing, well, we got to get the government to do this. We got to get, hey, you bought yourself a camera that was $300, and this is only $200, and this would save the lives of thousands of people down there every year. You know? Now, are you interested? Well, I speak my word, too, that all is in divine order. Great. 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 Now, Herb, why were you judging that Sam should do something about it? Because Sam is the one who brought it up. Sam is the one who's indicated he wanted to do something about it. Now, if Sam wasn't indicating he wanted to do something about it, I wouldn't do it. Now, I told Fernando about, what's his name? And I told him that this boy had trained under me in newspapers and Jimmy, and he came up to Atwater, that is Newport Beach, and he wanted to work for my paper, but I was just the editor. I wasn't the owner of it. And I said, yeah, talk to the boss. He didn't make it. And so then, about 3 weeks later, he called me, and he said, Herb, I'm really deep into drugs. I've been in drugs for a long time, and I thought I had it licked, but I'm deep into it. Can you help me? I said, sure. I said, I got a room downstairs. You come, and you live in that room. And so he did, and then for 3 days, he didn't come upstairs. And I said, Mark was 10 then. I said, Mark, go down and tell Jim to come up here or get out of the house. I don't want him around the house if he's not going to come and do our program. So he came up. And I said, Jim, go get washed up in the bathroom. He got washed up in the bathroom, came out, had a nice spaghetti dinner. And I said, now, Jim, before you eat, on your plate is 2 pieces of bread that are blessed. And these pieces of bread will absorb all the chemicals in your system and will take away all desire you ever have for drugs or all desire you ever have for partaking of it or anything like that. And he ate the bread, and to this day, he's never been on drugs since. He believed me, and he believed that the bread did it. Well, Fernando says, that's hypnotism. And I said, what? He said, yeah, that's hypnotism. And I said, maybe self-hypnotism, but it's not hypnotism. I said, I just gave him an opportunity to transfer his program and take on something that would be effective for him. oh, but that's hypnotism. That's making him do something that he didn't want to do and stuff. And I said, well, it's what he wanted to do. Now, I think it's wonderful that Fernando said these things that he did, because I could not conceive of a person having that thought. Now I know that that's a possibility. And if that's a possibility, I don't want anyone to have a misunderstanding on that. And the misunderstanding is that I was hypnotizing him. And certainly I wasn't hypnotizing him, my gosh. But the thing is, you see, this is where, when you're working with this philosophy, and you work with people, and people come in just for a second, and they have their own axe to grind or cross to carry or their own program to promote, they translate what you're saying into their own experiences. And I can well imagine somewhere along the line, he had gone through hypnosis, and it had been a very not a pleasant thing for him, you know. So I tell this story, and I think this story is meaningful to people, and I think it shows, not me, he believed really in himself, but he believed in me enough to apply it, and he did it. So if you tell these stories, sometimes people get the wrong ideas. They start thinking that you're doing something unusual, hypnotizing them, or the bread had dope in it itself, or whatever, you know. And it's interesting. It's very interesting. But you see, I have to say that this is a lazy man's attitude. It's a lazy man's attitude of what the principles are. Now, what is your attitude about what I have just said about the bread? What is your attitude about Jim? Is he now free from those experiences? Yes, he is. Is that quite glorious? Now, do doctors give you medication to help you get off drugs? Do they give you tranquilizers to take away your eagerness and things like that? Do they make you a walking zombie virtually and mess you up totally? Yes, they do. But this way, nothing happened to him except that he no longer had any desires. Now, you see, and like I told Fernando, I said, when Damon came here, he was on drugs too. And he'd been in and out of jail at least a couple dozen times. And each time he would be in for drugs. And then he'd be out, and then he'd back in again. And he was just running from facing the responsibility of leaving it alone. And so he heard my talk on the bread. And so when he came here, he thought perhaps I was going to do some magic for him. And so Ellen, of course, obliged him by saying, you know, eat this bread, remember? And so it didn't help him, because it wasn't magic. It wasn't anything like that. And so, you see, we quickly forget these things. You know, we quickly forget these things that we did them. But I'm aware of all of these things, and I'm aware of how they're done and when they're done, and not that there's anything bad about it, but what it can do, it can mislead. Because do you have the sincerity and the conviction within you that it'll work? Or are you expecting him to have it? And if you don't have it, he won't have it.
Yeah.
And this is why it's so important that you cannot afford to be lazy. You have to be right on the top and know it. I only had one day to work with the guy, and even that wasn't a very good day. So, you see, we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful. Because we're dealing with something very important. We're dealing with the inspiration that will be the future, that'll be the present activity in their life of who and what they are. And we want every single person that comes into our world to be their highest and best. We want every person that comes into our world to experience perfect love. And perfect love casteth out all fear. So let's be aware of these things. Let's know these things. And let's put these causes in motion for a very wonderful life. And recognize that the lazy person does not know he's lazy. The drug offender doesn't know he's on drugs. You say, he does, sure, after he has become aware of it, but while he was doing it, he's not aware. The alcoholic doesn't know he's on alcohol because he turns himself to the illusions that are coming to him. Now, I'm sure that there will be many people who listen to me who will disagree with me heartily, and they will disagree with me for one big reason. And I want you to know what that reason is. They've been there, done that. That's their problem. Because if you were never an alcoholic, you wouldn't give one damn in hell about alcoholics. If you were not a drug addict, you wouldn't care one little bit about drug addicts. You'd be sorry for them, you know, that they're on that thing. But you have no sensitivity for it, because you've never been there. And don't go there. Don't go there. And if you haven't smoked cigarettes, you don't know how difficult it can be to get off of it. And, cold turkey, stop, you know. Well, that sometimes works and sometimes doesn't. But, you see, the big thing is, the woman who doth protest too much protests about that which concerns her most. The man who protests too much protests about that which protests the most. The people who are saying that we should have guns in our homes and we should have the right to have guns in our homes and things like that, they have never faced down a gunman. They have never faced down a robber. They have never faced down anyone on the military field. I would say most people who are not enlistees but who have been drafted into service have no interest in guns after they come home. They have no people who are mercenaries who go and fight for every country, they're not fighting for that country, they're fighting because they want to fight. They want to be soldiers. They want to fight in a country, for a country that's having a battle. They don't want to fight for America because America's not having any battles. And you can't go out shooting people. And like in the Iraqi-Iran prisons, the guys who were being so foul-balled there, they thought, who cares, you know? That's what Hussein did here. We can do that too, you know? And never, an American can never do anything contrary to the philosophy of America. And a Russian can never do anything contrary to the philosophy without changing from being a Russian, you see? Now, let me ask you a simple question. What destroyed Russia? What destroyed the country of Russia was the country of Russia. What destroyed the country of Russia was that it, please, if you're going to fill it all the way to the top, you know, then I got to work on it too. What destroyed the country of Russia was simply this. Was simply that the Russian people had enough and said, basta. Or niet. Niet. That's all she writes. And there were some diehards that wanted Russia to remain as the nation, the biggest in the world, you know. But no. Every little country showed their teeth and took charge for themselves, and the big father country, or mother country, Mother Russia, disposed them all. Now, because it was an issue whose time had come, it came. And in our lives, too, when you have had enough, then the issue will be a time has come. And you will reach out for your highest and best, and you will be fantastic. And you will be glorious, and you will be good. But only when you stop being lazy, when you are your own inspiration, and you live according to that inspiration. Now, what happened to Germany? Same thing. What happened to communism in the United States? It killed itself. because they were teaching us to do things that the Americans just don't like to do. They were teaching us that we should put all our money in one pot, and there should be no rich people and no poor people. Can you imagine America without rich people and poor people? People want to be rich, they exercise it. They want to be poor, they exercise it. Who wants to be poor? Oh, the guy that is lazy, and he doesn't even know he's lazy. He's uninspired. Well, you take a person who's inspired, they can do anything. Are you inspired?
Yes.
Can you do anything?
Yes.
Are you doing anything?
Yes.
Fernando came here with this wonderful vision and a story that he has had some 30 or 40 investors who have come into his company down there, and that they are giving him orders of so great numbers every... And, hey, if that's the case, what's he fooling around with us for? You know? Why doesn't he go for his investors and go for the product that's making him happy? And I say, go. And I don't mean that unkindly at all. But his product is good, his project is good, his dream is good, and I will certainly tell the people in Africa about it and wet their whistles, and if Sam doesn't carry the ball, somebody else will. But, hey, what does the ozone do? Anybody? Kills bacteria.
And viruses.
And viruses. Do they have viruses and bacteria in the water in Nigeria and Ghana? Yes.
Yes.
And do they want to kill it? Yes. And does this sound like a very inexpensive way to do it?
Yes.
And effective?
Yes.
And also effective? Yes. Do you think its time is going to come shortly?
Yeah.
Do you think that Fernando's going to get in on the take of it? No. He won't get in on the take of it because he's not taking the lead. Mm-hmm. I said, contact Sam. He says, oh, I shouldn't call him. He's your friend. I said, our friend? What's that got to do with selling ozone? You know? I said, go for it. Go for it. My goodness sakes, go for it. You know? But you see, there's no incentive. There's no inspiration. And I see Fernando, what? I see Fernando inspired.
Successful in.
But no. I see him inspired. And as he's inspired, whatever is his dream will go, you know. I mean, he's full of dreams. He's got lots of dreams. It may not only be ozone, you know, but he's a brilliant man. So go for it, Fernando. Go for it. And you, my listeners, go for it. And when you go for it, watch the miracles take place in your life, because you are right in line with something pretty fantastic and pretty significant. And I know what it is. Do you?
Yes.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.